Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades because they've been able to find their customers the right insurance at the right price that fits their budget. And if something happens to their customer, because the customer comes first, they make sure that they act as if it happened to them. They're on top of it right away. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jim Miller in a moment. But first, our play-by-play call of the day, authored by the Hall of Famer, Mike Lang.
Good pass by Mehta. Finds the stick of Chris Kunitz. Comes to the Predators' line. Trying to make a move and then go to the inside, but he got checked on the play. He gets after the puck in the far boards, however, and finds it to Schultz. He's got a chance. Wristing one. Missing the net. On the rebound. Penguins have scored on the rebound from behind the net. They have put it in. And Patrick Hornquist put it in off Rene, and the Penguins have a 1-0 lead. 1 second left to go, and the puck into the car corner, and it's all over. The Pittsburgh Penguins have won the Stanley Cup as they have defeated the Nashville Predators here in Nashville 2-0. And you can tell your ma, you can tell your pa, I'm going to send you back to Arkansas. Stanley Cup champions 2017, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
The Hall of Famer, the legendary Mike Lang, who's been there for all five Stanley Cup championships, with the call last night at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. The Penguins, back-to-back Stanley Cup titles. Sidney Crosby, the Conn Smythe Trophy winner for the second straight year. Very pleased to bring in someone who's been very, very much demand over the years, and especially now, and that is Jim Miller, author of several books, including Those Guys Have All the Fun Inside the World of ESPN. Jim, thanks for the time. Welcome to the show. It's really great to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, so you looked at the model that they put together. I want to go back to the era of the book that you wrote about. There was, you know, Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann were very high-powered, personality-driven, among many personality-driven individuals there. Did they cause ESPN to change the model over the years because of the strength of their personalities?
Well, I think so. I think that, you know, prior to the 90s, let's say, ESPN, Chris Berman was around, and in some ways he was a bit atypical, but really what they wanted was those four initials to be the star. And they wanted to have highlights and live events and all their programming to be really what brought people in, because, you know, they were very focused early on in their history on not having to pay a lot for talent. And the feeling a lot of the executives there had was, when you start to create superstars, then they start holding you up for money. And so they always wanted to make sure that they weren't dependent on anybody. But then all of a sudden you had, you know, Keith and Dan, Robin Roberts, Bob Lee, Charlie Steiner, Craig Kilborn, Rich Eisen, you can go on and on. And they basically, you know, had this kind of metamorphosis of such in terms of their strategy. And they had these incredibly popular Sports Center shows throughout the day. And it really took off. I mean, the first time ESPN was on the cover of TV Guide was with pictures of Dan and Keith.
Exactly right. And again, you and I saw the beginnings of ESPN. That was Australian rules football early in the morning, rugby, and wow, we're getting highlights of every game. The novelty of it, especially in the early 80s, was incredible.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because a lot of people didn't think ESPN would survive because they said, well, nobody wants to watch sports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they had it backwards. It wasn't that people needed to watch sports 24 hours a day. It's that sports would be available 24 hours a day. Right. And that wound up being just something that was, you know, incredibly irresistible for a lot of fans. And as a result, I mean, from in the 80s and in the 90s, ESPN's growth was spectacular. Just spectacular. One of the most, probably arguably one of the most successful media stories of all time.
No question about it. Over time, though, what changed, Jim, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's like, last year my son graduated from college, and I made the mistake of saying to him, well, listen, what time is the cable company coming? Because we don't want to miss that. And he looked at me like I was, you know, on crack. Because he's like, yeah. What are you talking about? Like, we're, you know, they're not calling the cable company this generation. And in fact, ESPN has gone from roughly 100 million homes several years ago to now about 88 million. They lost 12 million homes in several years. And when you think about the fact that each one of those homes was paying about $7 a month, so that gets to be a serious amount of money. So all of a sudden, the economic model, that dual revenue stream that had been working so well for them for decades, became, you know, really under pressure.
They pay $1.9 billion a year for Monday Night Football, plus an additional $100 million for a playoff game where they lose money on as well. They pay $1.4 billion a year now for the NBA, and then there's the college football playoff. I believe when you put it all together, they're paying about $7 to $8 billion a year in rights fees. Jim, explain to me how this entered in and the decision-making that was made for these rights fees as to whether they were necessary or not in their model.
Right. Well, that's a great question. Look, when John Skipper became president of ESPN, he believed that the future of ESPN was inextricably linked with live events. And he went on one of the great shopping sprees in the history of broadcasting, because not only did he, like, you know, for the World Cup, for instance, he outbid Fox by $90 million. I mean, so not only did he aggressively bid on properties, but what he also did was he engineered longer contracts. So in the past, there were like 3 or 4 years, maybe 5, and all of a sudden, now ESPN signing 8-year deals, 9-year deals, 10-year deals. And so as a result, the strategy was to build a huge moat around ESPN, which is to say that if anybody came along, as it happened, Fox Sports, FS1 did, and wanted to compete with them, there wasn't going to be a lot of inventory that they were going to be able to get, because they had, you know, sewn up so much. They had a long-term deal with Monday Night Football. They spent $27 billion on college football, and, you know, with a lot of long-term deals. So as a result, they really made themselves, I guess, Teflon-coated in terms of people being able to steal some of these properties away from them.
There's also a part that's not talked about often. They tried to, in six or seven, they tried to lowball the Big Ten on a number. And Jim Delaney said, well, if you do that, you know, we might just start our own network. And they're like, yeah, sure you will. And he did. What have regional networks and specialty networks meant?
Well, look, one of the things that ESPN has done well is they've learned by their mistakes. So when the Big Ten network happened, what was the result? You see what they've done with the SEC network. And so they got a big piece of that. So all of a sudden, they started to understand that they had to be flexible in terms of their model. And they weren't the only game in town. And the conferences had their ability to engineer some of these things, just like the Big Ten. Delaney was savvy. He was very smart. And by the way, not only did he get his Big Ten network, but he still got Fox and ESPN to spend some major bucks for the property as well.
Right, and yeah, it'll be $240 million a year from Fox, about $190 million from ESPN. Plus, he still has BTN, he still has CBS doing college basketball for him. So, yeah, I mean, it's worked out well for the Big Ten. So, we just saw this series of layoffs, but there's still going to be cord cutting going on. Is this something that might become an annual event, or something every couple of years where ESPN again has to cut salaries?
That's the key question. we are, you know, it's very rare. Sometimes you see incredible disruption and revolutionary change years later, and you look back and you go, boy, that was such a decisive time. And, you only know it in retrospect. This is a case where, like, the world is, I mean, cats and dogs are living together. We're watching the media landscape fundamentally change, and we know it's happening while it's happening. And so, as a result, I don't think there are many guarantees. I'm not sure what the ecosystem is going to look like several years from now. I don't think ESPN is sure. What they're trying to do, though, is they are trying to make sure that they have as many, you know, sorry for the cliche, but as many logs on the fire as possible. Mm-hmm. So if one of these possible, or two or whatever, three of these possible alternative revenue streams work, then they're able to capitalize it. That's why you saw them making, you know, investments in BAM. That's why you see them trying to do some really interesting things in the digital space. And also, at the same time, try and keep their competitors away from, you know, inventory that they care desperately about. But there are no guarantees. I mean, will there be more layoffs? There could be. You just don't know what this, you know, there's different analysts who say the cord cutting is going to slow down, and also some of the other possible, you know, ways that they're going in terms of live streaming fees and all these other networks. Some of that may be able to make up for what they're losing. But I have to say that I think that ESPN has finally heard the clarion call to adapt or die.
Here's the next part. Jim, what's your sense of where Disney comes down on where ESPN is right now?
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? I mean, look, for years, ESPN was throwing this money at their parent in Burbank at Disney, and Disney went out and bought Pixar and bought all these amazing, they used the money very well. Bob Iger is an incredibly savvy executive. But, look, if they're not throwing off a lot, as much profit as they used to, some people think they should either spin off ESPN, sell ESPN. The one thing that I think Disney has become aware of is that the guaranteed, for years, there was a period of at least 7 years where the cable increases were 20% every year compounded. Can you imagine? I mean, that's enough to make you a Bolshevik. I mean, there's so much money coming in. But you know what? Disney has figured out that there are no guarantees anymore, and that rate of growth can't be counted on. So your question is an excellent one, because it speaks directly to the uncertainty, not just in Bristol, Connecticut about ESPN, but also, for that matter, to Disney. And so Disney can't count on those huge increases coming in every year.
You also wrote the book about Saturday Night Live, which was great. And now, of course, this one. I believe you collaborated with Tom Shales on the ESPN book, correct?
Right.
Yeah. If you were, this is a very, I think this is a difficult question, but I'll ask it anyway. If you were to rewrite the book today, how different a product would it be compared to the one you did turn out?
On ESPN?
Yes.
Well, I think that that was 6 years ago it came out, and I think that it was an accurate story. I'd like to think that it was an accurate story up to that point. The book did not really look forward, and which is why a lot of people have asked me if I'm going to do a volume two, because things have changed over the past 6 years.
This is why I asked.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm kind of trying to wrestle with it. You know, these books are, you don't date them, you marry them. And so I'm just trying to make sure that, I'm ready to go back into those waters. I mean, I like writing about ESPN. I like tweeting about it. I like, you know, talking about it. But to do a whole other book is climbing Everest on a cold day in your shorts. I just got to make sure I'm ready for it.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of people don't realize that, Jim. I've had two good friends that have written books. One's written three or four of them, and another one's working on one right now. And they talk about the all-encompassing that you've got to be as the writer, invested almost every single day in what you're doing, from organization to getting your thoughts and then making it coherent, the whole thing, that the process is not an easy process to go through. Does that sound like a fair evaluation?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, there are people, there are men and women working in coal mines right now, and
right.
You know, I mean, there's I don't want to play victim here, but I think that in order to do, especially these, you know, I've done three Saturday Night Live, ESPN, and CAA, the Hollywood Talent Agency, I think you just got to live and breathe it. You got to be unrelenting, and you know, sometimes it's all of a sudden you feel like you're about to finish one part of it, and you have a conversation. You learn some things and you do some reporting, all of a sudden that opens up a door into a room that has 12 other doors. So, you know, it's like, you know, at some point it's beyond all consuming. And you just have to figure out a way to just force yourself to stop.
Jim, it was an absolute pleasure. We've been hoping to get you on. It was worth every second of it. Thank you so much, and I hope at some point we can have you on again.
I'd be happy to. And by the way, my no BS, my compliments, because sometimes, you know, people get use a lot of incorrect numbers with ESPN, and your research was excellent, and your numbers were right on target, and I really appreciate that, and it's, you know, it says a lot about you and your show.
Well, thank you, Jim. We appreciate that very much. Thank you. We'll do this again sometime, because I probably could probably talk to you for another 3 or 4 hours on this.
All right. Well, look forward to it. Take care. Thank you for asking me.
Jim Miller. He wrote the book, These Guys Have All the Fun, Inside the World of ESPN. Came out about 6 years ago. Check it out. It's in paperback. It's really, everybody, I've read it. Everybody I know that's read it, when it came out, people loved it. And I think it's worth rereading again. He also wrote Live from New York, an uncensored history of Saturday Night Live. I know at one point they considered, I know a lot of people have considered writing a book about the suit, but you read it and say this has to be fiction. But, oh, Sean, stop laughing. Well, Matt Leon in the final half hour. We're going to talk about Philly sports. We're going to talk about the Sixers, a little bit about the Flyers, a little bit about the Eagles coming up in the final half hour. So we'll get your Philly sports fix coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SMC is where you want to be this summer.
It's the Summer Spectacular Sale.
Sunbury Motors Ford is drastically reducing every new Ford in stock during the SMC Summer Spectacular Sale.
SMC is where you want to be
because every new Ford will be clearly marked with savings up to $12,700. Choose from over 20 new 2017 Ford Focuses, and they're slashed to as low as $15,930. Sunbury Motors is Central Pennsylvania's Ford truck giant. Pick from four city blocks of new Ford trucks. 2017 Ford F-150s priced from only $24,419. There's 45 of the red-hot selling 2017 Ford Escapes, and they're priced at just $19,380.
SMC is where you want to be
because the prices are so low, they're practically giving vehicles away. Wait, they are. Get a 1915 SMC limited edition die-cast Model T collectible just for test driving a Ford while supplies last. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving Central PA since 1915.
Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Having a lot of fun on today's show with great guests like Kenny Albert, who joined us at 3:35. We mostly talked hockey with Kenny. He's just coming off... Well, how many days in a row did he work? 32? 32 days in a row?
32, 33, give or take a game.
Yeah, 33 on the Stanley Cup playoffs. And he's got some baseball coming up for Fox this summer. Then, of course, back to the NFL where he's so good. And then Jim Miller. We'll get him back on the show at some point because... I just found him to be a fascinating, informative, intelligent guest, which is Kenny Albert, by the way, as well. And you try to bring on guests that you think are going to enhance the show. That's why you bring them on. And, well, we had two of those that fit that bill today. It's like Chris Dempsey last week talking about the Olympics. You notice the suit still won't talk to us about that interview?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
He will not talk about the interview.
I can't even get the word Olympics out, and he turns in the other direction.
And you said it wouldn't work.
My spidey sense was off at the time.
It's not funny. Matt Catrillo's back, and Shiklami football's in good hands. I feel great.
Yes, me too.
Oh, that hasn't been decided yet? Warriors will play the Cavs tonight. Pens won last night. It's interesting that, you know, what about Sidney Crosby's legacy? Yeah, I don't understand why people have to do that.
I'll tell you what, though. Did you hear Gino Yevgeny Malkin last night was asked that very same question? He pretty much was just very nice and said, I don't want to talk about that anymore. Our team still has more chances to win championships.
That's my point. You talk about a legacy when they're over with. When they're all said and done, that's when you talk about the legacy, when you've got the full body of work in front of you. And even then it changes. Like, what? Okay, Mario Lemieux's legacy on the day he retired from playing is now different at this stage of his life and includes him as a player and as a savior of the franchise. So legacies change or are in flux all the time. You've got to let a body of work play out before you do that. I just don't understand this. And there's such selective memory. I mean, that's why I don't say that guy's the best player ever.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have taken care of the insurance needs in the Valley for decades. And I'm talking, personal insurance, commercial, business, whatever. They've taken care of the insurance needs for decades. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. They'll find the right insurance for you, the right price, and if there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them. It's exactly what you want in your insurance agent. Customer comes first. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. Sports bozo of the day. And as always, so many great choices to choose from. Former NBA official Tim Donaghy says that if needed, NBA officials will force a sixth game. What? Where do we come up with this? Wow. Okay. Now I want to go to the other side of the coin here for a moment. Listen to this story. It's from CBS News. Happened over the weekend. For several minutes, Ryan Hamilton watched as a blind man tried to hail a cab while Chicago Cubs fans poured out of Wrigley Field. The Chicago resident was on a rooftop across the street when he noticed thousands of people passing the man who was holding a walking stick and waving his hand in an attempt to stop a taxi. Not one car stopped, but luckily a pedestrian did. Casey Spellman of Indianapolis was visiting friends in the area and spotted the blind man, who was identified as Yusef Dale, an assistant U.S. attorney in Chicago. As she walked out of the Wrigleyville restaurant, without a word, Spellman split from her friends, walked over to Dale, and tapped him on the shoulder. "Do you want help getting a cab?" Spellman asked. He said, yeah. He says, you know what? You sound pretty. So Cavs will probably stop for you before they stop for me, Spellman recalled Dale joking. They chatted about baseball and how crowded the area was after a Saturday afternoon game as Spellman stepped out into the street to flag down a cab. Within minutes, a taxi pulled up and Spellman helped Dale inside, giving him a hug goodbye in the process. We laughed and exchanged goodbyes, and we went our separate ways, Spellman told CBS News. The 26-year-old didn't think anything of her encounter with Dale, but Hamilton, who was watching from above, was so touched by the kind gesture, he posted pictures of the pair on Facebook, praising the woman for lending a helping hand. He wrote, "There was a blind Cubs fan trying to hail a cab for several minutes until the lady came up and asked him if he needed help hailing a cab. She stood there with him until one pulled up," Hamilton wrote in the post that has since gone viral with nearly 8,000 shares. "Awesome to see such kindness in a world," he wrote. The next day, Spellman was surprised to see photos of herself and Dale online. "It was a strange feeling to see photos of yourself that you did not know were taken," Spellman said. "Not only did I not realize anyone was watching, but I had no idea it would have such an impact on people." Hundreds of people commented on Hamilton's post, thanking Spellman for stopping. One Facebook user wrote, "Such a simple, pure gesture of true, genuine humanity as it should be. Virtuous. Kudos. An honor to witness." Someone else wrote, "As a person who is legally blind and in a wheelchair myself, God bless you." Another said, "It's not easy as one thinks, asking for help or hailing a taxi." Spellman was glad that her post is inspiring others and hopes others will step outside of their comfort zones if they encounter a similar situation. "It's okay if you're unsure of how to interact with someone, but do your best, be brave, and just be willing to help," she said. "I think if you treat someone with respect, it will always be appreciated." The beautiful, a couple of beautiful pictures of them. He's in his Chicago jersey holding his cane, and she has his arm while holding out her left hand to get a cab. And then there's a nice picture of the two of them hugging as he goes to get in the cab. Now, that's the kind of story I love to hear about and tell. Sometimes the sports bozo can be funny. Sometimes it can be infuriating. And it's always good to tell a good story now and again. Always. Oh, no. Oh, no. Guess what happened?
Should I ask?
Might as well. I just received from the Dropbox team a note from the suit.
Uh-oh.
"I don't think I ever sent you his senior video from the football banquet." "If you have time someday, give it a look. Everyone started to chuckle when it started." Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
All right. Can you watch it, then tell me?
No. Well, your name's on this show. Mine's not, and I can take a hit for the team. So, you know.
No.
You want me to just cue up to the Rudy part? Or
no, I just... How about this? Cotrillo's new, right?
Yes and no. I mean, he's... You know, but, new, I mean, but, new, I mean, but new to this show, yes.
He should watch it. Then tell you. Then you can tell me. And then we could all tell the suit we watched. Well, I come up with plans. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
All right. Well, we could get Matt Leon to watch, but no, I don't think so. Matt, welcome, my friend. Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us.
Glad to be with you.
Hey, I want to start out, we'll get off what the current sport is for the moment, which is baseball. Kind of avoid that for the moment. But I want to ask you about, I was talking earlier about the Penguins winning, and the next big thing up will be the Vegas Golden Knights getting the expansion draft. That means players will be left unprotected. Which Flyers might be on the unprotected list?
It's a good question, one people have talked about a lot here. I think there is a lot of speculation that Michael Neubert, the goalie, will eventually end up there. Past that, I don't think there's going to be many names that are going to turn anyone, get anyone excited. Like, I can't believe they're not protecting them. Most of the Flyers' depth in the system is at the AHL level. They just signed, and not that he was going anywhere anyway. Shane Gostisbehere just got a long contract. You're not going to lose Giroux, Simmons, guys like that at the top, Voracek. So the name I keep hearing a lot is Michael Neubert. They've got a situation with goalies, with Mason and with Stolarz, who's the young kid, and I think Stolarz is the one they'd like to come out of this with. When it's all said and done, I would not be surprised if you see Michael Neubert in Vegas.
All right, next thing will be then the NBA draft. The Sixers have that third overall pick. Let's start with this. If, for whatever reason, Lonzo Ball is there and the Lakers don't take him, would he be on the consideration list for the Sixers?
Probably. I can only imagine what that would be like with this media market. I mean, he fits what they need. They need a guard. He's got kind of an odd shot. I actually saw somebody breaking down his shot online, and just the release is odd, like nothing I've ever seen before. It's almost like a sidewinder. But he would fit. I think Markelle Fultz is the best prospect at one. I think it's a... After him, you kind of draw a line, and I think everybody else has kind of a yeah, but to them. Yes, they're talented, but maybe they're not big enough. Yes, they can shoot, but can they defend? Yes, he's a great prospect, but will his dad be worth the headache? But I think it is possible if the Lakers pass on him, and you're starting to see a lot of, now also, you know, saying this, that 90% of what comes out in the public is misdirection this time of year when it comes to a draft. But you do see a lot of arrows pointing that the Lakers are kind of setting the foundation that it's not at least a slam dunk that they're going to take him at two. So I think it's possible. I also think it's very possible the Sixers could be on the move. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't stay at three, if they are active moving back. I don't know that there's if they'll be pushing up unless they go all in to get Fultz, who I think would fit at one. It's just a matter of how much you would have to give Boston, and do you want to pay that type of ransom to a team in your division? To answer your question, I don't think it's crazy to think that if the Lakers say no, the Sixers could say yes to Ball.
Yeah, see, I look at the Celtics at one. I'm not completely convinced they're keeping it, Matt, because you know, I know they have a lot of interest in Jimmy Butler. You know they have a lot of interest. Now, you would not trade the one for Gordon Hayward, but, you know, they have a lot of interest in somebody like that that's a veteran presence that they think puts them over the top. But let's say, for example, everybody stays where they are. I could see the Celtics one taking Fultz, the Lakers take Ball at two. All right, now who do you go with at three that fits what the Sixers want?
The Jackson kid from Kansas is a possibility.
I thought you'd say
I would think he's right at the top of the list.
What about the kid? What about the kid from Duke? Tatum.
I've heard there's been some buzz about him, as far as people saying he's more than you've seen in workouts and kind of a grassroots type thing with him. I think everything's on the table. Really, I think they're in this odd situation where they've been terrible for so long. But they've got so much talent already in the bank that has coming off injury. I don't know that we've ever seen a franchise in this type of situation before where, you know, they are coming off a, whatever it was, 28-win season. But they've got, you know, guys like Embiid and guys like Simmons that people, you know, almost universally agree are like number one overall picks. And the two combined in 3 years have played a total of 31 games.
Right. All by so Embiid,
Yeah, so it kind of changes the dynamic where usually when you're in this position, you're desperate for any talent, but when you look at the way the Sixers team is built, you know, if everybody's healthy, they've already got big-time guys in place, and you could look at this pick as needing somebody to, you know, to fill a specific need or to shore up depth. It's an odd situation when you're trying to break it down. Of course, given Embiid's injury history, counting on you know, him being healthy for 82 games might be a stretch at this point. But it does really cloud things, and that's why I don't think they're necessarily locked into three. I would not be surprised. You've heard some talk about Sacramento trading 5 and 10 to move up. I think that's possible. I think everything's on the table with this pick for the Sixers.
And you and I both know this league really works in threes. I mean, the vast history of this league, if you have three stars together at the same time, I don't care if it's Russell, Cousy, Havlicek, all the way to now with Love, James, and Irving, right? Could this pick give them that multiple, well, three, that could set the table for 10 years?
I mean, in theory, when you look at, we saw what Embiid was. And
yes.
I think we are almost in agreement. Everyone's in agreement. The only question is, will you be able to start counting on him for 82 games or at least something close to that? Or is he just going to be injury plagued his entire career?
Right.
I like to be an optimist. I think that he won't be injury plagued simply because it's been different things at different times. If it was always the same knee, you might start to really worry that he's not going to be able to overcome that. And a lot of times guys are injury prone until they're not. All of a sudden they play 2 or 3 years in a row and you're like, hey, you know what? He hasn't been hurt and let's go from here. But with him, I think Ben Simmons, everyone universally agrees. He was a transcendent talent when he came out last year. So with those two guys, and then if they were able to grab someone they feel in that stratosphere at three, you know, you could see a team jump from 25 to 28 wins all the way up to 49, 50. I don't think that's crazy. I think it's best case scenario, but it is not by any means out of the realm of possibility.
But Matt, the Eagles go about their business and they're a quiet organization. That can't be fun for you guys.
Yeah, nothing ever happens with the Eagles. It's so hard to find things to talk about.
I mean, it's amazing. They do a lot of things, but they're the hot. If they win, that city goes off the rails. I mean, is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. If they lose, it goes off the rails.
Right. But they're very quiet in terms of how they go about their business right now. It's kind of an unusual situation, isn't it?
Yeah, I really think the last couple of years they have done their best to address needs. You know, has it always worked out? No, but I think especially this offseason, if you and I were to sit down, you know, after the last game of the season and put together what do they need to do? They need to find cornerbacks. They need to address the wide receiver position. They need to add depth on the offensive and defensive lines. Those would probably be the top things to do. And you kind of look at what they did. You know, they drafted two cornerbacks early. Now, granted, the Sidney Jones kid probably won't play this year, but he's a top 15 draft pick talent.
Right. No question.
They addressed cornerback. A wide receiver, they almost turned the whole thing over. You know, they bring in Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith. They draft a couple of kids. So they addressed that. They've added on the offensive line. Not big names, but they've added depth. They had Timmy Jernigan's on the defensive line. They obviously take the first pick in the draft, or their first round pick with Derek Barnett, the kid from Tennessee, on the defensive line. Will it work? I don't know. But I think they systematically addressed what everyone agreed were weaknesses and tried to make the team better. And, we'll see how it plays out. But they've really been, since they made the deal to get Carson Wentz, they've been pretty conventional as far as taking what they need and building from there.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
You don't want to talk about the 21-40 Phillies? Come on.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Take care, sir.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. We will come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Well, it's another great week for sports, and at least we now have the natural order falling into place. The natural order is hockey should finish before basketball. Well, it may be by a scant 24 hours, but hockey did finish before basketball. Tonight, the Warriors and Cavs play Game 5 in Oakland. And the intrigue, of course, now is whether the Cavs can take another step and keep this thing going or whether the Warriors close it out tonight. Then late in the week, we change our attention span in terms of major events to the U.S. Open Golf Championship at Erin Hills. First time it's ever been held in the state of Wisconsin. Erin Hills was built in, I want to say, 2006, 2007. The idea behind Erin Hills was that they wanted to have a public golf course, which it is, but maxed out at $50 a round. And it didn't turn out that way. It is not $50 a round there. I think it's like $250 or something like that to play around at Erin Hills. Well, the part of the original group, one of them is in jail right now. And the USGA has always taken an intense interest in Erin Hills because they got a hold of the USGA early. Mike Davis had been out there over the years, and it's been able to pick up, I think, a U.S. Amateur Championship and something else along the way. I don't think it was the public links, but the U.S. Amateur Championship they got at one point. Now they get the U.S. Open. This course is long. They can make this course, if they wish, 7,800 yards. And they can do it. So depending on what they want to do with tee boxes and things like that, there may be a day where they become the longest course to ever host a U.S. Open for a round. I think Chambers Bay is the other one that it would surpass. It's interesting, though, when you look at the rotation of courses. Chambers Bay, first time. Erin Hills, first time. What's the one? What are the two everyone's raved about in the rotation? They raved about Marion, and they raved about Oakmont, two traditional areas. Now, down the road, Shinnecock Hills will get it. The Country Club at Boston eventually gets it. But we're going to talk with Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Knows this inside and out. Looking forward to it. Shinnecock Hills is on Long Island. That's why next year, Lord willing, we're all back here, and maybe we'll take the show to Shinnecock Hills next year. Maybe we'll send the suit over for Media Day. But they let the media play the course. He can wow the pros. Our thanks to Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.